snow continues to fall outside, each layer covering the previous one, as if it were a package waiting to be druced up and loaded onto the back of a pack mule. The fire roars in the chamber, meanwhile, a somewhat noisy intrusion into our time together.
No, I didn't,
my mother agrees.
Just when I thought I couldn't bear it any longer, just when I wanted to give up the fight, there you came in a rush.
And the midwife held me up and said,
Behold, Your Majesty, you have a girl.
I chant the familiar words, slipping off my tongue so easily that I could have recited them in my sleep. How often had I heard this story? Ever since I could understand words and frame them into pictures in my mind, I suppose. But I had reached the hard part of the tale, and a frown creased my brow. My mother sighed and reached for my foot, tugging it out gently from under her skirts and caressing its deformed contours. I flinched, as I always did when someone touched it. It didn't hurt, at least, not physically, but my mind filled with the usual anger and sadness. Why was I born like this? I ask, as if I hadn't already asked this question 100 times over.
It is God's will,
replies my mother, as always. Her eyes are filled with tenderness, but as I turn my face away to hide my tears, she cups my chin in her hands and shakes her head.
No tears, my Dida,
she says firmly.
You must try to accept your lameness, not fight it.
She wipes the tears that are coursing down my cheeks and make me meet her eye.
You are destined for greatness, my child. Haven't I always told you that?
How will I be great? And when? She smiles at the childish question.
Someday you have to be patient.
I know what she means. The story that had done the rounds of the court soon after I was born and ensured, perhaps, that I wasn't stifled at birth for being a girl, and a deformed one at that. The astrologer, a fearsome, impossibly tall man, who held the court enthralled to his powers, had told my father that the signs proclaimed greatness for me. And so,